I couldn't be more excited. For the first time, I just have a great deal of hope that we're moving way beyond the chaos that we've had. In fact, to be truthful, I'd had a call scheduled a couple weeks ago at 9:30 today with Mykola Kuleba, who has helped rescue 700 kidnapped kids from Russia back into Ukraine. And I've supported their work. And one of the things we did this year, we provided garden seed for 5,000 families to actually plant their gardens and have food to live on. And just so many amazing people doing so many great things. And what I learned today, one of his tasks at the moment is there's a church in Rushkivka in the Donetsk area where the Russians have advanced a little bit more. And all the families in this church are going to leave their homes and settle in the Cherkasy Oblast south of Kyiv. 20 families, and there's approximately 500 people every day who flee the war zone to safety into further west in Ukraine. And so the killing is continuing regularly. I mean, Putin has continued to bomb apartment buildings and hospitals and, I mean, just indiscriminate bombing. And I think as we talked this morning, Melania Trump wrote a letter to, stop killing children. So I think there's just a deep sense that this has to stop. And for the first time, we have a real united American European front on how to stop things and how to move forward. So, yeah, I'm very, very hopeful.
You can speak with authority from a Ukrainian perspective because you have such deep relationships and friendships and been there as much as you have. If I was the average middle-class Ukrainian, farmer Ukrainian, what would I want Vladimir Zelensky to do in the way of ending this war? What would I give up? What would be a win that may be more of a win for Putin than they want?
Well, I think the very thoughtful people are looking at the Korean armistice as some sort of model. And you're never going to make everybody happy, but there's obviously, and I better not speak with anything more than conjecture on this, but I expect Crimea will not be part of anything Zelensky's asking for. But Putin's asking for more of the Donbas region, more of Donetsk and Lugansk. And then both Zaporizhia and Kherson, the other two oblasts where Putin has gone into. Putin's going to have to back off. And for him to think that where his battle lines are now, that there's going to be an agreement on that, that's not possible. And right now, we have a lot of sticks, not just carrots, but a lot of sticks with Putin. Europe buying all their liquid natural gas from us as opposed to from Russia. There's a lot of things that can really harm the Russian economy deeply. And so I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes that I think are positive that I'm not privy to. However, I was so grateful for John Thune, who is such a thoughtful leader, but so quiet. He doesn't come out and make any bold or brash statements about anything. But at the end of the day yesterday, he made clear that to Donald Trump that the U.S. Senate would fully support any and all support necessary to help Ukraine. And that would be the consensus of most U.S. senators.
And obviously, the stick is sanctions, and there's a lot of other things we could do to squeeze Putin
further. Yep, absolutely.
So why does he want what he wants? Is it minerals, Howie? Is it warm water? Why does he want what he wants?
Putin can't sleep at night with Ukraine being a separate country. It just drives him crazy. And so his speech a couple years ago, where he said Ukraine is not a real country. And he's had to rewrite history because Moscow did not even exist when the Orthodox faith came to Kyiv in 988. You know, you basically go 400 years later before Moscow becomes a significant place. And the history's geography is so complicated, but Putin envisions himself as a Peter the Great type figure. And for him not to have brought Ukraine back into the Russian Empire, I think he just doesn't sleep at night with that reality. But it's not minerals. There's eastern Ukraine. There's a lot of great, coal reserves, iron, and but it's more or less a land play that Ukraine, the history of the people, the Slavic Orthodox faith, and not having that part of the Russian Empire, I think, is just very unsettling to him.
So it's power. It's Hitler-like power. I want it for that sake. So it isn't necessarily any economic benefit. But knowing what you very insightful on what you're saying, what is in his psyche, anything you give him is just going to be ultimately used to ultimately achieve that greater goal, isn't it?
I think he's well aware he's going to have to retreat in some places, and we'll see where that ends up. But we have both a lot of carrots and sticks for him. The Russian business people that I've dealt with over the years just long to be part of the community of nations. They loved it when they could do normal business, travel in the West, and tremendous improvement in their agriculture. Well, the Russian crop is suffering this year because the quality of seeds they were able to get were very deficient. And so Russia does not have a good crop. And there's 22% interest rates for farmers. And there's loads of Chinese machinery coming into various Russian equipment dealers. But the farmers don't want the Chinese equipment. It just doesn't do what our equipment does.